Charles Paris, So Much Blood, Episode 3. You really
got me going. Sophie, a student performer, breaks a leg, and I get a chance to do a one-man show in Edinburgh. Then Angus, an actor at the venue, dies during a photo shoot. His melodramatic death from a dagger wound was thought to be accidental, but a rumour that he maliciously caused Sophie's broken leg got me wondering if the two were linked.
I'm cold.
And if his accidental death wasn't an accident after all.
Oh, you've stung on all the duvet again.
I can't feel in my sleep.
You do all sorts in your sleep.
Whatever togs are, there are 15 of them between me and incipient hypothermia.
Relinquish the bedding or there'll be consequences.
In our chaste sleeping arrangements, this duvet tussle was the closest we'd come to physical contact.
Fine. It's all yours.
If you're putting the kettle on...
How did a fake aristocrat...
Do I smell coffee?
...fool the great and good and inveigle her way into the heart of the British establishment?
Do I care?
Welcome to the con woman countess.
Cue melodramatic music.
Naked ambition.
Told you.
And I told you to shut up. I'll listen to it later without the running commentary.
All these true crime podcasts work to the same formula.
How many of you listen to?
Pass the milk.
I rest my case.
I've got my own mystery to solve.
Like, how are we going to get your one-man show ready for an audience?
That's not what kept me awake half the night.
It should have done.
Who's that?
Do I look like Mystic Meg? Oh, hi. Come on up.
Who is it?
You'll see.
Or you could tell me.
Don't you like surprises?
I like them in context. Birthday presents, great. Proctology clinic, not so much.
Coming!
I'm not dressed for company.
Listen to Noel Coward.
Do I need to change?
In so many ways, but I long since gave up trying. Welcome to our little eerie. Hello, Judy.
You couldn't have found something closer to earth.
Oh, it's you.
A lovely greeting from the man in flappy gappy boxer shorts.
It's just a minor wardrobe malfunction.
Closet atrocity.
Oh, do you mind?
Here, Judy, have a doggy chew. We were on our morning walk and I thought I'd treat you both to breakfast at my townhouse hotel. But I've suddenly lost my appetite.
I haven't. Give me 2 minutes.
Make it five. Let's not take any sartorial chances.
One spelt porridge. A cinnamon bun. And the butcher's breakfast with poached eggs, black and white puddings, locally sourced wild boar sausages, and ancho chili beans on sourdough fried in artisanally rendered beef fat.
Come to daddy.
Let me know if there's anything else I can get you.
Just stand by with a defibrillator.
This will set me up. I was awake all night, ruminating.
Please.
It means you was playing detectives and we're not interested.
Angus? The guy who died at the photo shoot, I'm not sure it was just an accident.
He's right, not interested.
At least hear me out.
Why should we?
You're not a detective.
You're an actor.
Sometimes.
All the time, if I had my way.
Is that a jibe? Are you jibing at my expense?
I got myself this job when all you wanted me to do was to go on podcasts and swap green room banter with a bunch of old thesps in their anecdotage.
People love all that stuff.
I'm an actor, and actors need to act. It's why I was put on this earth. It's what I was born to do. When I die, they'll find the word actor engraved on my heart.
If they can see it through the layers of saturated animal fats.
Acting's who I am. It's what I am.
Oh, it's all going a bit gypsy. Is he about to burst into song?
I'll burst you in a minute.
Dial it down, boys. People are looking. Tell Morris your theory about Angus's death.
But I'm not a detective.
Go on. I'll play along for a quiet life.
Tell him why you don't think it was an accident.
I'm all ears. Charles? He's sulking.
I'm not sulking.
There's a student called Martin who asked me to read his play.
Any good?
Well, it was well-intentioned, but terribly over-earnest and extremely violent. Kind of thing students love. But on the basis of this, Charles thinks Martin's a murderer.
I didn't say he was definitely...
Euripides, Shakespeare, Webster, Bond, Kane, not a killer amongst
That's
them.
That's what James said.
Runs the old infirmary?
Yeah, but none of you know what Laura told me.
Remember the drunk girl Charles took outside at the launch party?
She was there the night of Sophie's accident.
Which one's Sophie?
Broke a leg and dropped out of her show.
Oh. She's the reason I'm in Edinburgh. Anyway, Laura witnessed the accident, except she reckons it wasn't an accident. She thinks Sophie was pushed.
You're going to blame Martin. He's going to blame Martin. Leave the poor boy alone.
Forget Martin. I'm talking about Angus.
Hang on. Isn't Angus dead?
He is now. He wasn't then. Keep up, Morris.
Why would Angus push Sophie down the steps?
That is the $64,000 question and the one I intend to find out today.
We're rehearsing straight after breakfast.
We can go at lunchtime.
Who's we? Go where?
To take a get-well present to Sophie.
Count me out.
I wasn't counting you in, but Frances has got the feminine touch, so...
I've also got a pretty tasty right hook, so choose your next words carefully.
If Sophie's got any beans to spill, she might spill them more readily if you were there.
I wish you luck with the bean spilling, but I've got people to meet, shows to see, and talent to scout.
Fearing for the state of my arteries, Frances route-marched me to the old infirmary for a rehearsal. As we crossed the courtyard, James came towards us with the recently bereaved.
Baelish, I'm not sure you've met Frances.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
That's kind.
One of the lads found more of Angus's stuff in the sound booth.
Well, if you need a hand getting it into the car...
It's just a T-shirt and a beanie.
Oh.
Actually, I'd better get back for the estate agent.
You're moving?
Yeah. Clean break. Fresh start.
Will you stay in Edinburgh?
We'll see. For now, I'm going to flat share with my podcast producer.
Well, what's your podcast?
Love and Other Lies.
She's got a new one coming out.
Dropping podcasts don't come out big drop.
We're holding that one back so I can focus on my new bereavement cast.
Well, that's quick.
I think it's important to share all my emotional states, so I'm posting a grief gallery on Instagram. Hashtag mourning, hashtag grief journey, hashtag life after loss. I'm getting so many hearts and love yous, I feel really blessed.
Wow.
Actually, we'd better move. We're about to attempt to stagger through.
Yeah. I've had a word with the tech team, but any problems?
Tense. That's an understatement.
Now what?
Martin's kicking off.
I'm sorry. I know what happened was an accident, but I really can't be around that guy.
Yes, no, but of course.
Nice to meet you, Frances.
Awkward.
Who's Martin yelling at?
Oh, that's Sam, the student who's written 57, the Mary Queen of Scots play. I wonder if I should intervene.
Writers are territorial creatures.
I can do without them scent marking my territory. Sorry, I'm really not in a Martin mood.
Martin!
That idiot's trying to muscle in on my time when he knows my play's previewing today. Are you two coming?
I've got a thing.
Me too. But if you're going to direct the transfer...
Well, one step at a time.
We haven't even talked about the script.
I was ready to, but you didn't come to the launch party.
No, I had to meet someone. In Haymarket. That's right.
He didn't meet anyone in Haymarket because we saw him walking in the opposite direction and followed him to a grotty-looking basement flat.
If you want to talk about it now...
Sorry, we're horribly behind schedule.
In fact, we should be rehearsing now.
What about my play?
We'll do it another time.
Yeah.
Good luck with the preview.
But why do I talk of death? That phantom of grisly bone. Oh, God, that bread should be so dear and flesh and blood so cheap.
An unforeseen consequence of the recession meant that Thomas Hood's verse and my show had suddenly become topical and prescient.
Single light on Charles. Fade to black, cue music. Applause, applause, applause. Lights up, Charles steps forward, takes a bow. Congratulations, we got through a run without any major incidents.
Am I still doing the poetry voice?
Barely a hint of poetry, please.
Excuse me. Sorry to interrupt.
We'll be out of here in a minute if you're waiting.
No, I just wanted to say well done.
You were watching?
I sneaked in for the last few minutes, but wow.
Hear that, Charles?
Well.
Hi, I'm Sam. You were great.
Oh, thanks very much. This is Frances.
Hi.
That last bit, I couldn't take my eyes off you.
Well, in fairness, I am the only person on this stage.
It was more than that. I reckon you could act professionally.
If you'll excuse me, I've got a few technical notes to give. Nice to meet you, Sam.
And you.
Are you the Sam who's written 57?
That's me.
First play?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks. That means a lot. I'm hoping to get into theatre making.
Construction?
A dramaturgy and performative storytelling with a phenomenological approach to text and physicality.
Cool. Not a clue.
My real passion is authenticity through historical accuracy. People rarely get period detail right. There was a study at an American university that proved it's almost impossible to play authentically Tudor in modern underwear.
Is that so?
Too stretchy, too clingy, too contained.
Oh.
After extensive research, we've managed to source authentic foundation garments made from original fabrics. They're incredibly freeing, and it really shows in the performances.
Yeah.
Some actors start with the shoes, but the pants?
I'd love to hear your thoughts on the show.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And so was I. Now I've got to be in it.
Of course, you're taking over from Angus.
I was the only person Tessa could think of who knew the lines, but I'm no actor.
You'll be fine.
It'll be a miracle if I manage to pull it off at all.
Audiences love last-minute subs, and you're all students. Except Angus wasn't, was he?
No, but he wasn't really an actor either. Sorry, I mean, music production was his real passion. He was building himself a studio.
I don't think he got beyond digging a hole.
Were you there?
The building site?
No, when he... you know.
Oh, yeah. Francis and I tried to help, but... you must have been pretty devastated.
I was shocked, but... we weren't close or anything.
Tessa said you'd cast him, so I assumed.
I hardly knew him. He graduated before I started, but I needed someone to play Rizzio and also do music, and he came strongly recommended.
Who by?
Anna, who plays...
Mary Queen of Scots?
That's right.
Are you sure it was her?
Definitely.
She told me she didn't rate him as an actor.
Well, she really bigged him up to me.
She told me she hardly knew him.
That's not the impression I got. I know he had a long-term partner in that, but whenever Anna and Angus were in the room, there was a...
Frisson.
Attention.
Tension could be sexual or antagonistic. Either way, there was clearly more between Anna and Angus than she'd intimated. I was hoping Sophie would be able to shed some light on Anna and Angus's mysterious relationship. We found the injured actress in a hospital side room watching daytime TV.
Knock, knock.
Hello? Sophie? Yeah?
Charles.
And Francis.
Oh, good. An excuse to get away from celebrity bathroom renovation. I feel like I'm in training for a care home.
Anna said you're vegan and cocoa intolerant, so I hope you're okay with these.
Oh, vegan marshmallows. Thank you.
It was Francis's idea.
Oh, that's really kind.
The least I could do is a get well and thank you.
You don't thank someone for breaking a leg.
Obviously, it'd be preferable if you hadn't.
But... I know what you mean. Oh, pull up a couple of chairs.
Right.
So, how's the leg?
Slowly improving. They've got me using knees.
Ah, I had to learn to use crutches.
You broke a leg?
Casualty Christmas special. I was Norman, a fir tree foreman who got crushed by a pallet of 7-foot Nordman non-drops.
Are you saying you were Norman the Nordman foreman?
Yeah, I suppose I was. The producer was less concerned with character names than prosthetics. They gave me a shattered shin bone that went right through
probably
my leg.
Probably a bit more detail than Sophie wants to hear.
How's it going at the old infirmary?
We've just come from a rehearsal. Everything ground to a halt after Angus. I guess you heard what happened.
Yeah.
It was a non-committal yeah. A yeah that was accompanied by an almost French shrug of the shoulders.
So, Anna took over my part in 57, and now they've got to find a replacement Rizzio.
We met him this morning. It's Sam who wrote the play.
Ah, oh, yeah. I suppose that makes sense.
It was time for me to pose the question I'd been asking everyone who'd come into contact with Angus.
It must have been pretty rough on you.
Dropping out of 2 shows. I've had better days.
I meant Angus's death. It must have been devastating.
It was shocking. I can't say I was devastated. I mean, obviously I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but I won't lie and say what a lovely man he was. Sorry. I don't want you to leave here thinking I'm a horrible person.
No!
It's Ailish I felt sorry for. He was definitely punching with her.
Violent?
Punching.
Punching above his weight.
Got it.
Angus expected all women to fall at his feet. Yeah, he tried it on with me. But then again, he'd hit on anything with a pulse and backbone.
I take it you told him where to get off.
Sophie may not want to rake over all this, Charles.
I don't mind.
He's always sticking his nose into other people's business. The next day calls I've had to make apologising for crass things he said at parties.
Hello, I am here.
I don't mind talking about it.
Laura told me she was there the night you had your accident.
Did she also tell you she had a terrible crush on Angus?
No.
Was it reciprocal?
Strictly one way. All a bit needy and embarrassing. There were people laughing behind her back. It was cruel, but I think it was a kind of transference, because a lot of them fancied him, so giggling about Laura deflected attention from their own flirting.
Oh, I feel sorry for her.
Me too. But she was a bit stalky.
Stalky?
Wherever Angus was, Laura wasn't far behind. Sad, really, because to him she was invisible.
What happened the night of your accident?
A group of us had gone to a club. It was getting late and I was tired, so headed back to the flat. I don't know why, but Angus insisted on walking with me. He was very hyper that night.
Hyper?
Keyed up? Wired?
Had he taken something?
Probably. We got to the top of the steps on Johnson Terrace and he was arsing around like an idiot. Somehow I tripped. I don't know how. Next thing, I'm going headfirst down the steps, and then I hear a horrible crack followed by a pain like I have never known.
Don't make the poor girl relive the whole thing.
Next thing, Laura appears from somewhere, then sirens and blue light.
Laura told me that before you fell, she heard you shout, "Stop it."
Oh, it happened so fast, it's a bit of a blur.
But you did shout?
Yes.
At Angus?
Well, there was a split second when I thought he was reaching out to grab me.
But?
I think he pushed me.
Why would he do that?
That's exactly what I keep asking myself.
Francis rushed off to the printers. Meanwhile, I walked the streets, mulling over what Sophie had said. Back at the old infirmary courtyard, I grabbed a table and ordered a coffee.
Double macchiato, sir?
Waiting tables, James.
I needed a breather, so I said I'd bring it out to you.
Join me.
I've just seen Martin's preview.
And?
I know they're students, but it's a worthy cause ruined by a terrible, incoherent script and a lot of shouty, screamy actors.
That's most soap operas.
But at least they have characters and a story. Martin's lot just harangue the audience about globalization and the corporate murder of the planet.
Well, they got a point.
I know, but the over-earnest self-righteousness. There's a youthful misconception that passion equals art. But it doesn't. Shock value simply isn't enough.
Most audiences are pretty unshockable now.
Well, apparently not. Now there's one angry mob yelling, "Cancel the show," and another screaming, "Censorship and freedom of speech."
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's the culture wars. How about you? Still gnawing away at clues?
Well, I'm starting to think I may have to concede defeat.
I knew my instinctive guesswork wouldn't stand up to James's rigorous logic, so I held my peace.
Never say die. Unfortunate choice of words. But the Crossword Brotherhood don't give up on a puzzle. How about KISS?
Kind of you, but...
K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. My money's on Martin. He was holding the weapon.
It's too obvious, too easy. Anyway... You said playwrights can write about violence without committing it.
Well, that was before I'd seen his play.
Yeah, I'm looking elsewhere.
That's not a man who's conceded defeat.
There you go. 1,000 flyers. 500 for me, 500 for you when you're ready.
For what? I wonder if I could give you... Oh, have a nice day. Can I give you a...
Don't
snatch. Would you like a leaflet for my one-man show?
Is it stand-up?
I stand up for most of it.
So it is stand-up?
Well, it's...
Because I'm only here for the stand-up.
There is stuff at the festival that's not stand-up.
I don't think so, mate.
Definitely.
Like what?
Oh, that's a nicely designed flyer. Can I have one? Oh, Death's Mystery, a deep dive into the life of the poet Thomas Hood and a coruscating critique of 19th century social mores.
Doesn't he sound like stand-up to me?
Other forms of entertainment are available.
Nah, you all right, mate?
Hello, you two. Looks like rain. Have you given out any leaflets at all?
I've got one.
So a single flyer.
I'm an actor, not a door-to-door salesman.
I'm the director and I've run out.
I'm the director and I've run out.
Oh!
Oh! Oh.
You promise to stop bickering, Uncle Morris will buy you both a hot beverage.
Art nourishes the soul, but the National Gallery of Scotland Cafe also does a very nice hot chocolate, which we sipped as I laid out my latest suspect and motive.
The Anna I was talking to at that party.
The same.
Don't be ridiculous.
We know she's ambitious.
All my actors are ambitious. Not one of them is a cold-hearted psychopath. Okay, there's one.
Do you mind? I'm in the middle of positing a theory.
A stupid theory.
What she said.
Anna had a lot to gain from Sophie's accident. She immediately replaced her as Mary Queen of Scots.
No one's that desperate to be in a student show.
A student show at the biggest arts festival in the world. Cast your mind back to being young and hungry. You don't know anyone in the business. You're desperate for a break. What would you do?
I'd attempt to assassinate another actress.
Of course you would. Happens all the time.
Or you might be tempted to persuade someone else to do the deed for you.
At the moment, I'm tempted to take a contract out on you.
Make me an offer. I'll do it for mate's rates.
Every woman I've spoken to says Angus was a serial shagger.
Indoor voice, Charles.
A
man like that would be easy prey for Anna's womanly wiles.
Did he just say womanly wiles?
He's channeling Barbara Cartland.
You were there. Sophie said he pushed her.
No, she said she thought he pushed her.
What about Anna claiming to have barely known Angus, and yet Sam said she strongly recommended him to play Rizzio?
Lying to Charles Paris is not illegal.
And if Anna is some sort of Messalina, did she also arrange for Angus's death? And if so, why?
I haven't got that far. I need to arrange some sort of relaxed chat with Anna.
I must say they do a very good hot chocolate.
If we can get Anna to talk.
I've got whipped cream.
Admit there was something going on between them.
I'm a sprinkles girl.
So I hear.
Maybe that'll tell us how he ended up dead. Got it.
Don't give it to me.
Where's my phone?
Bite your elbows.
You nearly spilled my chocky.
What are you doing after this?
Going back to my hotel for a little nap before a slam perjury working of the cherry orchard.
I quite fancy that. It got a 5-star
Anna,
review.
Anna, it's Charles.
What are you doing?
Listen, I've been talking to my agent. He said he'd be more than happy to have a drink and chat about the business.
I said what?
It probably won't lead to anything.
It definitely won't.
But he's the best in the business, so it wouldn't do you any harm to be on his radar. Well, I'll text you where to go. My pleasure.
What the hell?
I mean, I'll take best in the business.
I had to big you up.
But you're right to say it won't lead to anything, because it won't happen.
You've really overstepped the mark this time.
It's entrapment.
You're using him as bait.
I'm a honey trap.
Just let Anna talk.
About what?
About acting, the business, her aims and ambitions. I'll tell her to come to your hotel bar.
You will not. Have you heard of the Me Too movement? I'm not going to choke you over one of your idiotic ideas.
Okay, we'll do it somewhere public.
We?
Boundies.
What's Boundies?
A proper old school drinker's bar, quiet, with lots of little booths, so we can be nearby listening in.
No way.
Trust me, Morris gets there early, phones me on speaker, and leaves his phone face down on the table so Anna can't see the screen.
I can't believe you really thought this through.
It'll work.
It's immoral.
It's unethical.
But you'll do it. Go on. Tell me you're not excited.
Hear me.
Loud and clear.
How should I play it?
Just be yourself.
Right. How do I do that?
You know how to be you, Morris.
I thought I did, but I've gone blank. I need direction.
Be your normal, charming self. Talk to Anna the way you talk to Charles.
Yeah, phone her up every 6 months and tell her there's no work, but it's the same for everyone.
Very amusing. Oh, she's here.
Bang on cue.
We're going mute.
Let's knock the mute button.
Don't mansplain.
Am I late?
I was early and gasping. Not that I'm a drinker. I leave that to Charles.
He does like a drink.
He prefers several, and always in boozers like this.
Oi, I can hear you.
I'm on something called heavy, because the barman gave me a filthy look when I ordered a dirty martini. What would you like?
Oh, I'm good, thanks.
Yes. So, acting, show business, showbiz, the business we call show.
What's he doing?
There's no business like it.
Overplaying the agent.
He is an agent.
So, in a perfect world, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time?
In a perfect world, playing Leeds.
Oh, Leeds Playhouse?
Lead roles?
Right.
And I know you have to make your own luck.
Like breaking another actor's leg.
It's so hard when you come from my sort of background, you know, with no connections or contacts in the business.
I think she's auditioning for Eliza Doolittle.
You're already playing a lead at the festival.
In a student show.
Stop fiddling with the phone.
I'm trying to record.
You can't listen and record.
Please, Francis.
You were a late sub for Queen Mary.
I was already up here doing bits and pieces. Just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
Unlike the other actress.
True.
Put the phone down,
How
Charles?
Do I make it record?
And the awful thing, that boy Angus.
Look.
That's a lot of accidents for one student show.
Oh, he wasn't a student.
I just assumed.
Get on with it, Morris. Ask her if she got him to break Sophie's leg.
What's that?
Uh-oh.
What?
I think we need to go now.
Why?
The actual...
Oh, ha-ha-ha.
Don't give me hi when you've been spying on me.
I wouldn't say spying.
I would. That's an invasion of my personal privacy. Have you heard of the Data Protection Act?
Actually, in law, there's a subtle difference
Spare
between...
me the lesson. You and Francis are accomplices. And if I decide to report this to the police, I reckon you'll be just as culpable as Charles.
You may well be right. Then again, you've not exactly been true to your authentic self, have you?
What's going on?
Her voice, her accent.
Hardly the time for notes, Francis.
Actually, I think it is. Don't you, Anna?
Her expression morphed from defiant righteousness to sheepish.
Don't tell me you've never code-switched.
There's a fine line between fitting in and out-and-out lying.
Have I been playing?
We all have. But to what purpose?
Well, I thought I might get more work if I reinvented myself. Everyone hates posh people.
Two words, the crown.
If you want to reinvent yourself, why so desperate to play Queen Mary?
I wasn't desperate. And by the way, no, I didn't get Angus to break Sophie's leg. In fact, from the moment we got up here, I've been trying to avoid
him. Then why get Sam to cast him?
Okay, before I knew about Ailish, he and I...
We get the idea.
Whenever he was at a loose end, he'd come back to uni just to hang out.
Didn't you think that was odd?
Well, he'd been a big name on campus. I got the feeling real life was a bit of a disappointment.
It invariably is.
I knew Sam was looking for somebody to play Rizzio and do the music. Angus was living in Edinburgh and said it'd be fun if we were both up at the festival. So I recommended him to Sam, who went on to cast him opposite Sophie.
That must have hurt.
Of course, but I put it down to experience. Anyway, when I got up here, I found out about Ailish, so I told Angus it was over, but he wouldn't listen. You see, I think Ailish was also sick of him playing around and told the spoilt man-child she wanted out.
I didn't need to look at Frances to know she was giving me one of her looks.
Even though I'd dumped him, he decided I was a replacement Ailish and was desperate to prove he was serious.
Like putting Sophie out of action so you could step into her role?
Maybe. I don't know. He was very impulsive, reckless even. I don't know what was going on inside his head or what happened that night, but I swear it had nothing to do with me. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to leave.
She can certainly deliver a speech.
And she knows how to make an exit. Speaking of which...
Wait for me.
What about your heavy?
You drink it. Drown your embarrassment.
Crestfallen, I strolled into the relative peace of Prince's Street Gardens and grabbed myself a bench by the Scott Monument. I love a bit of Victorian neo-Gothic and a city that erects a statue to a writer. The moment was ruined by a mob of kids. Suddenly there was smoke, followed by... The incendiary left poor old Walter dripping with red paint. An irate citizen grabbed the main assailant and in the struggle, a hood came off revealing a wild-eyed young man.
Martin!
Our eyes met, then panic set in and he ran, leaving me with James's words ringing in my ears. Keep it simple, stupid.
In episode 3 of So Much Blood, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. James was Roger Ringrose, Anna, Natasha K. Stone, Martin, Connor Curran, Ailish, Catriona Sterling, Sophie, Fiona Skinner, and Sam, Tom Kitely. So Much Blood was written by Jeremy Front, based on the book by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Evans. It was a BBC audio production for Radio 4.